When I think of all the times that I have failed my precious Lord, or turned my back and walked the other way, my heart is filled with sadness and I'm overcome with shame, ridden with the guilt of my mistakes. But when I fall before Him and cry out in regret, He whispers, "My child, don't forget." I may never understand how such a good and holy God could shower me so freely with His love. It's so hard to imagine that after all I've done, my simple plea could ever be enough.
Our New Testament reading this morning is Hebrews, the 9th chapter, verses 11 through 15, and may be found in the New Testament section of your Bible on page 223. Hebrews 9, 11 through 15. And when Christ came as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, He entered once for all into the holy place, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with His own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls, with the sprinkling of ashes of a heifer, sanctified those who have been defiled, so that their flesh is purified, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to worship the living God? For this reason, He is the mediator of the new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, because a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions under the first covenant. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, my mind be acceptable in Thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Extra points for this. Over the last few months, I've been trying to present a theme. Can anybody tell me what that theme is? From James through Hebrews. What's the mission statement of the United Methodist Church? to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Many ways to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. What is a disciple? Strict translation, a disciple is one who follows. We're disciples of Jesus Christ. When Jesus tells people to take up their cross and follow Him, or come and follow Me, when He tells us to love one another as He loves us, we're following Him. If we do those things, accept Him as our Lord and Savior, and follow Him, then we become disciples. I don't make a disciple. You don't make a disciple. We are disciples. The only one who can make a disciple is the Holy Spirit, Christ Jesus, God the Creator. They're the only one that has the power and the wisdom and the knowledge of you to make you a disciple. None of us are perfect. Right? Bob's not here, right? None of us is perfect. And probably while we're here on this earth, we might not be, but our hope, John Wesley calls all his clergy to hope, to anticipate, to expect to be made perfect through God's grace. Wherever we are right now, God doesn't want us to stay there. Jesus doesn't want us to stay there. Even if we're already on the right path and moving in the right direction, we're not there yet. So Christ wants us to continue to work in that direction. So as we make disciples of Jesus Christ, how do we do it? We invite. You welcome people to come in. You go into the community and invite them to come in with us and celebrate. Wherever there's a place of worship, whether you invite them to go to Philippi or to Zor or to Lower or Christ Church or any other place, invite them to go and worship Christ Jesus in a setting and a fashion that they're comfortable with. What is worship? Worship is when we offer reverence, praise, prayers to our Creator through the Holy Spirit, through Jesus, our Savior and our Redeemer. We do all those things. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 14. Verse 11, Christ came as a high priest. Hebrews is written to a Hebrew faith, the Jews, who understood that they had and needed a high priest to make offerings for them once a year for all the sins as the community of faith, as children of Abraham. We are followers of Christ Jesus. We no longer require a high priest to make an offering for us once a year. Christ is our high priest. When He gave up His life on the cross and said, "It is finished," the curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom. We no longer need someone to go into the Holy of Holies and make an offering for themselves first and then for us. Christ Jesus has already died. His blood is sufficient. His body given, His blood shed. Then through the greater and perfect tent, this is Christ Jesus. He entered once for all into the holy place, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with His own blood, obtaining eternal redemption. That means the debt that we owe because of our sin is what? Paid in full. How many nails? Paid in full. 1 plus 2 equals forgiven. 3? Holy Spirit? Anyway. 14. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to worship the living God? What are dead works? What are dead works? Anything that has me and my pleasure and my interests as its sole and only focus. If I am centered on me and my pleasure, my advancement, then who am I focused on? Me. If I'm focused on me, am I following Christ Jesus? No. Because if I'm following Christ Jesus, who am I focused on? Him. Now, that's not that I blindly miss the brothers and sisters that I encounter on the path, because Christ Jesus wouldn't want us to do that. But we're focused on Him, and as we go through life, we encounter people who have needs. And we love them as Christ has loved us. Jesus Christ purifies our conscience from dead works to do what? The last part of that, verse 14, to worship the living God. The dead works earn us what? The wages of sin is death. If we're worshiping Christ Jesus, if we're worshiping God, if we're worshiping the Holy Spirit, and they're all one, what are we doing? We're moving and headed in the right direction. The saints before us, the world behind us, our conscience is purified. Our conscience is clear. Why? Because Christ sets us free. And if Christ sets us free, we are free indeed. Free from doubt, free from despair, free from death, free from darkness. He is the light of the world. He brings light and life and love into our lives for a purpose. Our conscience is free for a purpose. Our conscience is cleansed of those dead works. Our conscience is cleaned of those dead works for what? For the positive results of worshiping the living God. So are you a prisoner? Or are you free? And if you're a prisoner, the only reason you're a prisoner is because you haven't let Him free you. And if you're a disciple of Christ Jesus, and if you allow Him to free you, you will be free indeed. Shalom.